broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And that was a real weird hour, wasn't it?
Yeah, that Ron Tom, man, I don't think that guy should be teaching no high school.
Yeah, but he said he's an astronomy.
He's an astronomer.
Yeah.
Yeah, and maybe he's not quite ready for high school teaching. I don't know. Now, what we got into here is, as I've sometimes said to you guys over the course of the many weeks, is I bring in here my New York Times CD-ROM, and what it is it's the front pages of the New York Times going back to 1851. And I was looking up here along with Neil, because I've got the 1950 to 2008 CD in. When did we first know about, I was just picking a moment in history, okay?
Yeah, dude, you picked up a missile.
Right, the Cuban Missile Crisis, bud. You know about that?
Not really.
Nah, he's a dumbass, man. He don't know.
Yeah, do you know about it?
Yeah, I do, man.
What is it?
Go ahead, Robert.
It's when there was missiles in Cuba, and Kennedy was the president, man. They told him to get them out of there, or we would drop an A-bomb on Russia, I think.
Are you kidding me, man? They never would do that.
That's exactly what it was, bud. That's precisely what it was.
Kennedy must have been a madman. Probably good he got assassinated.
How dare you say that?
I'll kick your ass for that, man.
Yep.
How dare you say that, bud?
You're gonna drop an A-bomb.
Don't you understand what was going on? That's why I have this thing in the computer, you idiot.
Was he gonna do an A-bomb or was he not?
Why don't you shut up, man, and listen what's going on?
Bud, shut up. First of all, one of the things we were looking up was, when did the public first know about this, and when did the United States actually know that there were missiles, Russian offensive missiles, in Cuba? Well, that was on the 14th of the 15th, where we had a U-2 plane flew over, and they took pictures. These were spy planes that we used in those days. Nowadays, you know, you could take pictures. Nowadays, we got Google, you know.
Yeah, you got Google up everybody's you-know-what.
Right. Nowadays, if we want to know what our enemy is doing, we'll just go on Google. Find out. Anyway, so that was the 14th. But guess when the American people became aware of it? More to the point, guess when the New York Times said, hey, there's something bad happening in Cuba? It wasn't until the 22nd of October. So for a good 12 days, this was something that was kept from the American people. Now, Kennedy happened to have been out of town, because there's a headline here. This is the biggest headline on the 21st of October. I bet you guys probably thought, you know, well, I mean, the missiles of October, it must have been a heavy-ass thing. Now, there's that movie, 13 Days, that I thought sucked, but nonetheless, it is called 13 Days, and maybe that's why it's called 13 Days, because there was the discovery of these missiles in Cuba on the 14th, and then, like, the 22nd, which is actually 12 days, maybe 13, depending on what you're counting, the headline in the New York Times, and maybe this was this period of time that they were trying to figure out what the hell to do, because Kennedy was out of town. He was out on some kind of a campaign stump, because this was the midterms. 62 would have been the congressional midterms. He all of a sudden comes back to Washington because they say, oh, he's got a cold. But the New York Times says in this article that I'm looking at here on the 21st, I'd show it to you guys if you're watching Phil TV, president cuts his tour short, flies to the Capitol, has mild cold, but then look at this, the rest of the headline. Speculation rises on possible urgent White House business.
That means they're covering it up?
Yeah, bud, they're covering it up, but it ain't like a cover-up like Watergate. They're trying to figure out what they got before they just spill it out there to the American people. You got offensive missiles in Cuba. Okay, that's a bad thing.
Why?
Why? Because they're pointed at the United States. And because the United States has had a long-term policy since the days of James Monroe, called the Monroe Doctrine, which meant no European or foreign powers muck around in the Western Hemisphere. This is America's hemisphere, and that's where that's at. And we had adhered to this for over a century. However, you know, times change. These days, we don't really do the Monroe Doctrine as stringently as we used to. For instance, I think the Russians are building some kind of a naval facility in either Brazil or one of these countries, and we haven't really made a big thing out of it. Maybe if they were still commie, maybe we would. But in any event, Kennedy said to them, no, you can't have these missiles. And Khrushchev said, well, why not? You guys invaded Cuba, and we are not going to put up with that. Cuba's communistic.
I thought Kennedy was right.
Well, wait, will you just hold on? And they said, well, yeah, we invaded Cuba. So what? So you can't invade Cuba, and we're going to guarantee the security of Cuba, said the Soviet Union. And we will guarantee the security of Cuba by sticking these missiles, and we'll point them right at Washington, D.C. and the other major centers of population in your country. How does that grab you? And Kennedy said, well, it ain't grabbing me too good, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to get those missiles out of there. No, we're not. And not only, well, yes, you are, and not only that, but we're going to embargo everything that's coming down there.
What's that mean?
It means American ships, we're going to stop every single ship going into Cuba, regardless of its nationality, and check every damn ship going in there, and make sure that they were not bringing in contraband, to wit, missiles, defensive missile systems, etc. Now, there was all kinds of crap going on behind the scenes, but essentially, Kennedy let us in on what he was doing on the 22nd. So all this stuff is happening, and the American people don't know diddly squat. Because like I said, here's the headline on the 21st of October, and it has something to do with China and India and some other bullcrap.
They're U.S. may counter Latin aid critics.
Yeah, just boring stuff. Now comes the 22nd, and look at the headline now. It is it's a headline about stuff going on in the Capitol. It says, Capital crisis air hints at development on Cuba. So now, all of a sudden, the 22nd, Kennedy TV talk is likely. Boom!
Man, they kept that on the wrap.
Yeah. And Neil was saying to me, he said, how is it that that stuff stayed quiet? I said, it's very simply this. In those days, reporters would hold back reporting on things for national security. And also in those days, reporters may not have suspected, or may not have, maybe they were a little bit more naive than a modern day reporter in that, look, if there's anything really important, anything newsworthy, we're going to find out what it is. And maybe they thought they were better than they were, and maybe that was easier to keep things from reporters, but mostly it was, you know, they would hold things back.
So you think the New York Times guy knew?
I don't know, maybe. Maybe the New York Times guy knew. I mean, there's been a lot of books written about this period of history. You guys should look it up. But all of a sudden, here's this capital crisis. Kennedy goes on TV. Latin sympathy for U.S. rises in Castro dispute. Top aides confer. I mean, the whole thing. U.S. forces maneuver off Puerto Rico. Link is denied. You know, all kind. Link is denied. That meant because we had our forces maneuvering, which basically meant the Navy, and Russia said, oh, are you guys now mobilizing your Navy? No, it's just war games. Take it easy. Which, of course, no, it wasn't.
So Kennedy said he's going to drop a bomb, though.
Kennedy said to them, get the missiles out of there, and we'll talk. That's what he said behind the scenes. To the American people, it was, Kennedy tells them to get the missiles out. It wasn't quite that easy, and they did talk, him and Khrushchev, and it came down to this. Khrushchev said, oh, we'll get our missiles out of there for a guarantee that you guys will not attack Cuba. Okay. There was also one that was not reported widely at the time, but was nonetheless true. We also did not deploy offensive missiles that we had been planning on deploying, I believe, in Turkey.
Where's that?
Turkey's in Asia. Okay, it's a country over there.
Yeah, it's in Asia.
Yes, will you guys look at a map?
I can't find it on a map.
Oh, that's right, I forgot. Anyway, so there was that quid pro quo. All right, so enough about that bullcrap. That's just a little bit of us giving you the news background here from our New York Times CD-ROMs. All right, we'll get into the rest of the stuff, current stuff, stuff that's happening, stuff that's heaviosity, you know, from these here days. Nowadays, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Be right back.
Truth is our bitch.
Let me read
the
that.
Phil Hendry Show.
U.S. forces maneuver off Puerto Rico. survey support for the isolation.
Don't read it out loud. Read it to yourself.
For all things news and talk radio, visit trncentral.com. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
This is Friday night. It's actually Saturday morning all over America, and except for what?
Except for Hawaii. Dang, Hawaii is still Friday night.
In Hawaii and Alaska, it's probably still Friday, but it's Saturday everywhere else, and it's Saturday in all the places that count. I'm kidding. Hawaii's awesome.
Man, I'll tell you what, Hawaii and California are only states that are worth it.
Yeah.
Don't say that. Why would you say that?
Well, it's true.
I'm on a show that's national here. Don't insult the country. Okay?
Well.
Don't say, why in California? There's people living all over the country, okay? And there's nice things about every state. Don't give me this bull crap, okay?
Yeah, well, that you got to say that on account of you got to be nice and everything.
And you got to be nice, too. California and Hawaii, the only place is worth it. I happen to like, there's a lot of parts of this country. In fact, after I saw that thing on TV about whatever that thing was we were watching.
You mean the thing on the former president, George Bush? God.
All right, bud, I forgot. Maine, man, that's my kind of place.
Yeah, it looks pretty windswept. Yeah, I don't know if a black guy'd be comfortable there or not. Ow! God.
Hey.
Shut up, man.
Watch it. Why do you say stuff like that, bud?
Just to piss him off. Yeah, you know it does piss me off.
Watch it. All right, so Maine looks really nice this time of year. Probably in the wintertime it's pretty nasty. But there's all kinds of places, man, that I want to go to before I shuffle off the mortal coil. Hello, everybody. I'm Phil Hendry. So that was kind of a cool thing. JetBlue pilot not guilty, judge rules. You want to know why? Because he's nuts. That's right, Clayton Olson, I shouldn't say that, but a Texas judge on Tuesday found a JetBlue pilot insane and not guilty of interfering with a flight after his bizarre behavior forced an emergency landing in March. Clayton Osborne, age 49, had been charged with interference with a flight crew and could face up to 20 years in prison. Court documents show U.S. District Judge Mary Lou Robinson in Amarillo, Texas, received a report from a psychological examination that concluded at the time of the commission of the offense, the defendant appeared to suffer from a severe mental disease or defect that impaired his ability to appreciate the nature, quality, or wrongfulness of his behavior. All parties, including the prosecutors, agreed to the report.
How's that possible?
It's possible if the man is psychotic. And what that means is if he's got if you're psychotic, that's different from being psychopathic. If you're psychotic, reality is not for you what it is for the rest of us. You are hearing voices, you're hallucinating things, you're seeing things. Nowadays, we treat psychotic people with medicine. But if you're not taking your medicine, and a lot of these people go off their medicine, man, I will never understand why they do it, but they do. And
what they just like forget.
Well, I mean, you can forget one day, and or maybe two. It's not like if you forget your medicine one day, you automatically begin getting you're turning into a lunatic. But it's pretty fast, you know. You got to get back on your medicine, and if you care at all about your recovery, I mean, if you care at all about your health, you're going to take your medicines. I don't know. There must be something going on there. Anyway, that's what I'm surmising is wrong with this guy. Last month, Judge Robinson declared Osborne fit to stand trial, saying he was not now suffering from a mental disease or defect that would make it impossible for him to assist in his own defense. Osborne had been examined by a government-appointed psychologist who did not address whether he was sane at the time of the March 27th incident. I don't think a psychologist is the guy. You got to have a psychiatrist.
What's the difference?
The difference is a psychiatrist has a medical degree. A psychologist does not. A psychiatrist can prescribe medicine. Witnesses said that Osborne had to be wrestled to the floor of the plane that was heading from New York to Las Vegas after he began sprinting down the aisle, yelling that things don't matter, and talking about Afghanistan, Iraq, and Al-Qaeda. Before being forced out of the flight deck by the first officer, the FBI said Osborne had tried to interfere with the plane's controls and began rambling, saying, "We're not going to Vegas," and warning the first officer that we're going to have to take a leap of faith. Yeah, he's nuts.
Man.
Judge Robinson ordered that Osmond be taken to a prison in Fort Worth, Texas for a mental examination, then returned to court for an August 6th hearing, where his fate will be up to the judge. Under federal law, people found not guilty by reason of insanity can be incarcerated until they can establish that they're entitled to be released. Several passengers on board the flight have filed suit against JetBlue for gross negligence, saying the airline should have known that he was unfit for duty as a pilot. Was this guy the pilot on the plane? Or was he just a passenger?
I don't know. Then he got it.
He was the pilot. That's bad. That's bad. That sounds to me like a guy that was either not taking his meds or this was a completely undiagnosed condition that suddenly just bang. You know what I'm saying? He went goofy, man. The fact is I'm gay and I always have been. And I'm kidding. That's the...
Yeah, man, you're mixing the stories up.
I know. The pilot then went on to say, I'm gay and I always have been. The pilot, Anderson Cooper, one of these days we'll have to do that with news. You know, we'll call it our news mashup. I mean, a real news mashup, not just some jive-ass CNN-style, you know, lame-ass. This is going to be a real news mashup. So we'll start out talking about a mentally diseased pilot who's also gay. His name's Anderson Cooper. And, you know, and then the pilot, but the news anchor is a guy by the name of Osmond, who went sprinting into the studio talking about we have to take a leap of faith, and he was on the air.
Yeah, that's like that movie Network.
Yes, it's just like Howard Beale and Network. So anyway, that's, and the other thing about that is, and people, you know, I hope people don't think, well, he's getting away with murder, because he's not. I mean, if we find out that the man was, you know, psychotic by reason of this disease, that schizophrenia or something, then, yeah, if he's better, if he's on his meds, if the guy's cool, there's no reason to incarcerate him. You let him go.
Yeah, but that he almost blew the plane up and stuff.
No, he didn't, man. All he did was go in and say a bunch of stupid stuff.
No, but he didn't kill anybody. He didn't beat anybody up. He scared some people, and yeah, people are going to sue, and that sucks, but he himself was not in control of his wits. He didn't know what was going on, and so you can reasonably say, well, if the guy's taking his medicine, he's not symptomatic, there's nothing going on, and we have to let him go. Yeah, sure, you want to punish somebody like that, but there's no point, man. There's no point in punishing someone that was sick, and you can make them better. Why not just make them better?
Because He scared everybody, and also, just what you're not thinking about.
You know I'm talking about because it cost the company money.
Yeah.
Well, so what, man? Why put a guy in jail just because it cost the company money?
That's not the company's fault, you know?
What do you mean it's not the company's fault?
Well, what I'm saying, I shouldn't say it's not the company's fault. It's not the fault of the pilot, is what I mean. The pilot didn't cause that.
Yeah, he did.
No, he did. Shut up, bud. Listen to me. No, he didn't, because he was sick, but the company put him in that pilot seat. So, you know, frankly, I agree with the lawsuit. You know, I agree with the lawsuit. They should have evaluated it. I mean, look at, dude, if that guy had been behind the yoke of that aircraft, instead of, he went into the bathroom and apparently had this episode, but if he decided we're going to have to take a leap of faith, and his idea of a leap of faith is, boom!
Yeah, straight down.
Straight down into, you know, terra firma. You better believe there's some lawsuits then, man. As it was, the company dodged a big bullet here, man. They could have had dead people. But I don't blame the pilot. I don't blame this man. He's got a disease. He's going to go get treated. They're going to have him in front of the judge again on August the 6th. They're going to figure out what the hell's up with him. He's probably going to be, once he's treated, he's probably going to say, what the hell happened? What did I do? And I'm very sorry. And I, you know, but someone's going to have to tell that nut, excuse me for saying nut, someone's going to have to tell the guy, you know.
Yeah, he is a nut.
But hold on. Somebody's going to have to tell the guy, you can't forget to take your medicine, dude. Otherwise, we've got big problem. We got big problems. I don't know why I'm not talking gooder English. All right. So that's that story there, and let that be a lesson to you. Coming up, a Chuck E. Cheese mascot will be given a younger and hipper makeover. We'll see what that's all about. I know there's a lot of you that don't want to be reminded of Chuck E. Cheese, don't even want to know it exists. And I think that's I think it's fun. It can be fun for adults if you... It can be fun for adults if there's no other adults there, you know? I'll explain. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL and philhendryshow.com. Get a live, get access to our live streaming video with a backstage pass. We'll be right back.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, you know, I was looking at this one particular story of a plane crash. You know, there, what's that website we go to, Robert?
That's called Air Disasters.
Air Disasters. Now, you know, I'm not maudlin, but I found that website at a very pivotal time. There had been an air crash in Southeast Asia about a year ago, I think, something like that. And we found this site because it had cockpit recordings. It also had air traffic control recordings. But, you know, the thing about flying, man, and the thing about safety, like I was telling Neil, I've been flying since I was in high school. So I've been flying since the late 1960s. And not a lot has changed in terms of the actual cabin. When you go and you sit in an aircraft today, it's pretty much the same aircraft that I was in, minus the ashtrays, 40 years ago. The wide bodies have been flying for at least the 70s. I mean, the 747, the very first wide body, that was like 70, whatever the hell it was, 71. So, you know, you're getting on these wide bodies. And you're flying in a jet aircraft, and that's where that's at. What has changed, though, is something, a lot of things. Here's one thing that I can tell you about, because we experienced that. We experienced the reason for this change here in Los Angeles. And it was, I'll never forget, it was a Saturday afternoon, and I was working over at KNX FM radio here in L.A. I was a disc jockey at the time, and I was down on Sunset Boulevard, and I was playing records. And this was around, I don't know what the hell it was, man, 83 or something like that. A Mexicana Airlines aircraft was coming into LAX, and it clipped a private aircraft. I think it was a Mexicana. And down it went, crash, everybody dead. That's the end of that. Okay. Now, here's something that I didn't know. I didn't know it then, and I didn't find out about this until, I don't know, maybe 2-3 years ago when I was doing some reading. Up until that point, pilots had to look out the window for other aircraft, literally. There was no other way of avoiding a crash with another aircraft other than eyeballing it.
What do you mean?
I mean, you had to look out the window. And if you're looking out the window for another jet, forget it. If the guy is on a collision course with you, have you ever seen a jet go by sitting in an aircraft? You ever seen another jet go by?
Uh-oh.
It's like the blink of an eye. I mean, it can, if it's anywhere near you, even if it's a shadow, it's just like, phew. We were flying into London, and I saw a Royal Air Force jet come right in underneath us. Now, I don't know whether or not the British, if that's something they do. I don't know if this guy thought he was being funny. I don't know if he'd made a big mistake. You know the British, I don't think they're necessarily a bunch of clowns, and I don't think they take that stuff lightly. But I'm telling you, we're coming in. I saw a Royal Air Force jet. And I looked out my window, and I saw this guy zoom right underneath us. It's fast. So if you're a pilot in a jet, and you're looking out for other aircraft, that's what you had to do up until the 80s. Today, we're very familiar with, if you ever sit in an aircraft, and especially if you're on a small plane, and you hear the pilot going through his safety check, and you hear the collision alarm.
Yeah, I've heard that.
That's what, you want to know why they got collision alarms? Because of that crash. Here in Los Angeles, it isn't the first time, obviously, there was a mid-air collision, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back. That's when the NTSB, the FAA, whoever, the pilots union, they all got together and said, we got to do something about this because this is nuts. You're asking us to look, I got to land a plane and I'm in restricted airspace anyway. So now I'm coming into LAX. No other aircraft was supposed to be there. This guy that hit this jet had no business being there. It was some guy out for a Sunday spin, made a mistake. It wasn't intentional, but everybody's dead. And this jackass is in this restricted airspace over LAX. Now you got a pilot. He's trying to land a commercial jet. He's got hundreds of people on board. He's got to look out the window. He's supposed to be in an area where he should not have to worry about that. All he has to listen to is air traffic control tell him, here's the thing, and go over here and go there and have a nice day and get out of here. And that's it. But guess what? That wasn't the case. This guy's all of a sudden looking out. There's an airplane. I don't even know if they saw this guy. I don't even know if looking out the window would have helped, because this private aircraft clipped the wing under the cockpit. A collision alarm would have warned them, and would have warned them with enough time to alter the course of the aircraft. But they didn't have collision alarms in cockpits up to that point. The 80s, folks. That's not too long ago for guys like me. The 80s. And instead, they had to eyeball it. And, well, guess what? That ain't too boogie-woogie, baby. And bzz, down they go.
Yeah. When they get a collision alarm?
Well, like I said, after that that particular crash was the straw that broke the camel's back. And I'm sure the pilots union weighed in big time and said, that's it, man. We ain't going to do it. We ain't going to do it anymore. Well, what are you tell you what I'm talking about, man. You're telling us we're going into restricted airspace. Well, guess what? Jackass here. Well, that shouldn't have happened. Yeah, I'll bet it shouldn't have happened, but guess what? It did. We can't be sitting there pulling it, man, looking around for every Tom, Dick, and you know what, while they're flying, they're taking a pleasure cruise on an afternoon in their little Piper Cub, and I'm muscling some big plane into it, and I can't do it, man. What do you want me to do? I got to start looking around for these guys? Well, what do you want to do? We got to have a collision alarm. And like everything else in life, there had been people working on these things, working on these technologies. They had obviously developed this, but why isn't it in the air? Well, it's going to cost too much. Well, we don't think. It's always coming down to money. And folks, you know it as well as I do. I'm not saying that this is not a problem of the government. This isn't a problem of the airline industry. This is a problem of the human race. And if there's one thing that separates me maybe from a lot of people, especially doing talk shows, man, I see all these problems in terms of human failing. I ain't going to play this. Well, you look at what the government did. Because the government only does what we let them do. I don't care who you are, and I don't care what you believe. I don't care if Noam Chomsky's out there right now taking notes.
Yeah, right.
Well, you never can tell.
Yeah, Noam Chomsky out there taking notes. Hey, Noam, you pick me up a pizza.
Yeah.
Hey, give me.
All right, easy, easy. I see it in terms of a human problem. And so humans, human beings, stockholders, we're finding out now when we talk about the failings of Wall Street or the failings of corporate America, the failings of American industry, what do we always come back to? Now we come back to, stockholders, don't we? Well, I got to make the stockholders happy. Well, now who are they? Well, guess what? The further and further you investigate the problem, folks, I hate to break the news, the further and further you investigate the problem, the closer it gets to you and me as the problem. You want to look into the problem? I mean, you really want to look into the problem?
Now, you can't say that, man. People, they won't like you.
Oh, won't they like me?
Boo-hoo!
Oh, boo-hoo!
Yeah, but I mean, people don't react good to that.
What, people don't react good to the truth? Well, it's probably been my failing my whole life. But the fact is, any problem you want to talk about, any human problem you want to talk about, the closer you investigate, the more you get into the problem, the closer you get to the problem, the source of the problem, and that's Mr. and Mrs. America. Thank you and good night. All right, I want to get to this Chuck E. Cheese thing, because this is the real big news.
Yeah, right, that's just chicken crap.
Exactly. You can talk all you want about aircrafts crashing in midair and thousands of people going to their deaths in a flaming ball, but this, Chuck E. Cheese changing its mascot! God will not permit this to happen. I'm quoting George Patton.
Well, you're quoting George C. Scott.
Right. I'm going to be allowed to fulfill my destiny. So anyway, anyone looking to hire a giant mouse? The company that runs the pizza and games restaurant has decided to send Chuck E. Cheese to the rodent retirement home at the ripe old age of 35. CEC Entertainment Incorporated, which runs the Chuck E. Cheese chain and has been running them right into the ground. I'm kidding. No, they haven't. It's fantastic. Is trading in the mouse in the backward baseball cap and fingerless gloves for a younger version of their longtime mascot. The new Chuck E. Cheese will be a hip electric guitar-playing rock star determined to sell your youngster on the joys of pitchers of soda and skee-ball. But it's not just the often animatronic mouse that is being retired. It's also the man who voiced the character for nearly two decades, Duncan Brannon. Oh, so that's it, huh?
Man, I'm going to put Duncan Brannon out of a job.
Exactly. I find that to be just the worst. The, what do you got?
I got Art Griego's on the phone. I don't know if you want to talk to him.
No, I don't. I'm already done.
Yeah, but Mr. Hall...
Oh, will you give me a break? Yeah, David.
Hey, listen, Art Griego, you were talking about airline safety. Art Griego's on the phone. I said, all right, why don't you get on there? I think it'd be a very interesting segment.
Yeah, the only problem is I'm done talking about it.
All right, well now start talking about it again.
Put him up. You know, one of these days...
Yeah, what?
One of these days, I'm not going to have a sense of humor, but Art Griego on the line. Art, how you doing? Nice to talk to you.
Hey, okay, you
here? Art, nice to talk to you. It's Phil Hendry.
Okay, Phil, I want to talk about the... oh, boy.
Get David. David? Hey, David.
Yeah?
He's drunk.
Oh, no, he's not. I said, I think Jody's with him. Get some coffee in him. Tell him to get some coffee into him.
What do you mean, tell him to get? You got me on the air with this guy.
Get some coffee into the guy.
Hey, Art. Hey, buddy. It's Phil.
Hey, Phil. I was calling for this Mr. Hall to talk about airplane. And I think you? Did you?
Did I what?
You call me?
No, I did not call you. I think you called David.
No, that's right.
Yeah, he called me.
Why do I have him on the air when he's hammered?
Because he happens to be our go-to guy on airline stuff.
I'm done talking about airline stuff.
I know. And now you got to talk about it some more, because we got the go-to guy. And the fact is, he's buying drinks. So
get rid of... Get him out of here.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't do that.
Okay, Art, it's Phil, Art.
Yeah. Hey, Phil, listen. Did you know that, that when I was flying commercial aircraft, that I never, ever wore my seatbelt?
You never wore your seatbelt?
Never. Well, maybe a couple.
What did you want to talk about?
What?
What did you call up, or what did they call you, or why are you on the air? Why are you with me?
Collision. I came really close one time. I almost ran into a guy.
Okay. Great talking to you, man.
Okay, Phil.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Are you driving?
No, I'm at home.
Why am I hearing an automobile in the background?
Well, I mean, Joey's driving, but that was, you know.
Okay, thank you very much. Is he kidding or what?
Get him on the air.
He ain't no airline contributor when he's in that state. Good thing he wasn't flying. Or was he? Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here in our News and Information Hour. Thank you!
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Well, you want to come over and have some wings? Wings and beer? It's pretty good.
For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, and online at philhendryshow.com. Episode number, I haven't even mentioned the podcast, episode 14 of the free Phil Hendry podcast was out as of Friday, so you got to head over, go to the banner on our homepage that says the new podcast, that's the banner, hit that banner, takes you to our podcast, the free Phil Hendry podcast. And you'll enjoy it. And episode 14 is out. And let's see, what else do I have to say about it? And that's all I have to say. But it's cool. And
what's in it?
Well, this episode features, we've got actually three marvelous bits, but this one features the Margaret Gray bit, That Ain't Cucumber Dressing.
Man, that's the best bit of all.
Yeah, it's a good bit. So that's on episode 14. And episode number 15 is out on Monday. So we've had kind of jammed these two together because of the holiday weekend. All right, I was talking, see, if you look at this beard, those of you watching Phil TV, I have a goatee, but I was twisting my mustache up into a handlebar look.
Yeah, you go ahead and get some handlebar wax.
Handlebar wax, huh?
Yeah, that's what they do.
I go ahead and get some mustache wax, and I turn this into essentially what I'll look like is the old, the late great, and I mean great, play-by-play guy for the Oakland Raiders, Bill King, who had a handlebar mustache and this kind of Van Dyke Lucifer goatee, which I don't exactly have. But and that got us to talking about being diehard fans of different teams. And
yeah, you got all quiet about that, didn't you?
I got quiet because I haven't been a diehard fan of a team. I haven't had season tickets for a team since the Rams left town. That's how long it's been for me to give a damn about anybody or anything. I mean, I care. But there's only one way of being a diehard fan, and that's going to their games.
What about on TV?
Well, yeah, I guess. But for me, the only way I can get into a team is if I'm going to their games, and I'm physically there, and I'm interacting in the sweat and the screaming and the emotion of the event. And I just don't have the time, man. So when people say to me, well, Phil, are you a diehard fan of a team? I say, well, I've probably outgrown that. But it really isn't that I've outgrown it. It's that I don't have the time. And I don't live in the close proximity to the stadiums like I used to. I live outside of L.A. about 40 miles. I'm just talking about Los Angeles. But for those of you who are wherever you live and you are far enough away from, say, the physical plant where the teams play their games, it's all about either watching it on TV or you are just sort of,
You're like a casual fan.
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, who do you like?
Bud, what team you like? I like the Oakland Raiders and the L.A. Raiders, too.
Same team.
They're the same team, man. How do you figure that?
Because it's the same team.
What do you mean? One was in L.A.
It was the same team playing in two different cities.
All right.
Why is this so hard?
Well, you don't understand, man. They lived in Oakland, then they come out down to L.A. They lived in Oakland, then they come down?
Yes, they were in Oakland. What do you think, they were formed in L.A.?
I don't know.
Like the Dodgers. Where were the Dodgers before they came to L.A.?
I don't know.
Brooklyn, New York.
That's where the Nets play.
That's where the Nets play, yeah. But the Dodgers were in, there used to be a lot of teams in Brooklyn, not just the Dodgers. They had football teams, all kinds of stuff.
Really?
Yeah. I know the Nets play there. The New Jersey Nets, that's a pretty good marketing move, to be perfectly honest. I like that move a lot. All right, let me see what else we have to talk about here. We mentioned Chuck E. Cheese. All right, so that's it. We got the Chuck E. Cheese out of the way, man. We are beautiful. There's no more news. That's it. Forget it. Anyway, just want to remind you that we have episode number 14 of our podcast. And, of course, we'll have another one on Monday. And, of course, you can visit us at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And get a backstage pass. Hit us up in the shop, too. We have the new Teds of Beverly Hills download. This is 12 or 13 of the greatest Ted Bell bits ever. Available there for you in one fell swoop. So you just go in, download the whole thing, man. You ain't waiting for anybody to mail you nothing. You just boom, and of course, we take all the major credit cards and we take PayPal as well. In a couple of weeks, all of our media will be available on your iPhone and your iPad. So your Apple product will support media for your Apple product. That'll be in a couple of weeks. We're excited about that. as well as now you have the ability to download our podcast on your mobile phone. As far as all of the information on traffic, fatalities, and stuff this weekend, I hope you guys will drive carefully. I was trying to find out exactly what the stats were, because we were looking at some old 4th of July. You know, people in this country were killing each other.
Yeah, they had a, I've seen one, Bob Bacon up there, maybe we can get him. But I saw one where they had 272 or something like that, people what died.
Well, hold on, Bob Bacon on the line. Hey, Bob, how you doing? Bob?
Hey, Phil, how you doing? It's Bob Bacon. I'm just giving a preliminary report here from the metropolitan area, and I just got a call from Bud Dickman and asked me to do that, so...
Are you not in the chopper, are you?
No, those are automobiles that are going by me, so those are airplanes, but we are halfway between San Francisco Bay Area and Los Angeles area, and we've been around the country today looking at traffic, and it seems to be moving very, very smoothly. Bob Bacon, burn it!
All right, Bob, thank you. I didn't understand one word of that.
No, but it sounds cool.
Well, that is true. Bob Bacon, you don't understand him, but he sounds bitchin'. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Neil West, Dan Northcraft, and me, Phil Hendry. And don't forget to join us online at philhendryshow.com, as we mentioned, for a live-streaming video of our show. All you got to do is get a backstage pass, and you're in, baby. You're in. You are free. You are free. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will rejoin you and yours on Monday at 10 Pacific, 1 a.m. Tuesday morning on the East Coast. Until then, Phil Hendry.
Bud Dickman. Robert Leonard.
Let that be a lesson for you. Wow.
Talk, bud.
Phil Hendry.